Welcome to the journey. My name is Marlena Compston, and I am so excited to welcome author Steve Snyder today. Steve is way over in California. I'm way over in Oklahoma. Good morning to you, Steve.
Well, good morning. How are you doing today?
I am good. I'm so glad to have you here. And I've already told you, especially for all of us that are history buffs, I love this book.
Thank you very much.
It is great. Just so you know, let's fill you in a little bit. Steve's dad, Howard Snyder, the whole book is about his father, and the book's title is Shot Down: The True Story of Pilot Howard Snyder and the Crew of the B-17 Susan Roth. And we're going to take our deep dive into the book. And let's just say first, I love the fact that your dad got to name his plane after your sister.
Yes, he was the first pilot, and as such, he was the commander of the plane and the crew. B-17 had a 10-man crew. Three of the men were married. My dad, though, was the only one that had a baby, a little
I
baby girl,
remember.
Susan Ruth. She was 1 year old at the time he went overseas, so he was na able to name the plane, and he had to get agreement with the crew, but they agreed to name it after my oldest sister.
I really love that. Well, your book, like I told you on our pre-talk, Steve, you have such a gift of writing, just like your dad. How I love the eloquence of your dad's writing and yours. And I love how he expressed his love to your mom in the letters. I love how he showed her in words and actions, and was caring for her and your family even overseas. And he was just quite a man, wasn't he?
He was my sister's my other sister Nancy. She was born while my dad was missing in action, so that was really tough on my mom back then with a 1 year old and an infant girl, not knowing if she'd ever see her a husband again. But my sisters and I always kind of viewed my dad as a like a John Wayne character, or people remember the old TV show Gunsmoke with James Arness. He was a big guy, a rugged guy, no nonsense guy, a strong Christian. He believed in right and wrong and black and white, and he disciplined us lovingly, I would say. But we were very close. He coached my little league teams, and he took me fishing and things like that. So yeah, he was a wonderful, wonderful man.
I love that. He was just bigger than life, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, when he entered a room, you knew he was there.
Right. Well, I know that you had a great career in insurance, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, I worked in sales and sales management the last 36 years with a company called Vision Service Plan, VSP, which provides vision care that corporations offer their employees to cover eye exams, glasses, and contact lenses. So.
I've had that.
Yeah, it's VSP is the largest provider in the country. So, yeah, they've grown quite a bit since I started. When I started with them, there were 35 employees, and today they have 15,000.
Oh, my word. So you retired and you said, I'm going to write a book.
No, that not at all, actually. I retired and was just t taking it easy, taking long walks, doing a lot of reading, just taking it easy. But when I retired, I had the time to really delve into my dad's war history in more detail. Growing up, I knew the basics. I knew he was a B-17 pilot. He was stationed in England with the 8th Air Force, flew bombing missions over occupied Europe and Germany. And in February 1944, his plane was shot down. And he was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded ca capture and got back to England. My parents had kept a lot of material from the war years, and I just wanted to go through that and organize it and learn some more details. And there were two items that were really significant. One was a diary that my dad wrote, about his plane being shot down. He wrote it while he was missing in action in Belgium, which is absolutely riveting. And that
And
said,
just so those of you listening, Steve takes so much of his dad's diary and infiltrates the book. I mean, it's just throughout. And again, his writings are incredible. All of this that he's going through, Steve, and he still took the time to write these things down. And no doubt his faith was keeping him going, wasn't it?
oh, absolutely. As I said, my dad and my mother were strong Christians, and after the plane was shot down, I think one thing that's really makes it personal and poignant is that all the letters that were exchanged between the wives or mothers or girlfriends of the men who were missing in action, and trying to strengthen each other and rest
Yes.
their hope in God that they'd see their loved one again. And those that the excerpts that are in the book from those letters, I think, are really moving.
Those are very touching, and that's something that touched my heart was that it's like they just all came together to say, they're coming home.
Right.
We believe they're coming home. God's going to bring our family home. And I wanted to read, was it February 22nd? Is that the day?
February 8th of 1944, their plane was shot down.
Over Belgium,
Yes.
and Germany had invaded Belgium, and then there were families that hid these men. Of course, your dad, I don't want to tell all the book, of course, but he, in his parachute, he landed in a tree. But I asked Steve's permission to share this excerpt. And at some point after this happened, he wrote these beautiful words. It seemed natural to wonder if the chute would open. I knew soon enough as the air caught, filled the chute, and the jerk nearly snapped off my head. The rushing air roaring in my ears stopped suddenly, and the most wonderful and peaceful quiet settled over me. It seemed as if I had come out of that hell above into a heaven of peace and rest. And just that makes so much sense, the hell above, because their plane was on fire.
Yes, it was attacked by two German Focke-Wulf 190 fighters, and they just made one pass. And as my dad said, everything blew up. The cockpit that he was in was on fire, and I mean, it was the chaos and terror of that moment. I can't even imagine. He blacked out for a few moments. He didn't know how long he was blacked out, and then he woke up, and his co-pilot was in terror, just frightened to death, almost frozen. And then my dad, he had to try to take his seatbelt off, and which was he was all confused, but finally got that off, and tried to put out the flames, but they were way too roaring for him to do any good. And so finally, the guys who were able to bail out, bailed out. And as the commander of the plane, the first pilot, he was the last one to bail out of the plane. Actually, excuse me, my dad and the plane came down in Belgium, but all the other guys who were able to bail out came down in France, and they were brought across the border by either Germans who captured him or members of the French resistance who brought him back into Belgium to be hidden and try to avoid being captured.
Right. It's a fascinating story. And Steve, again, I'm going to brag on you that I love how you started with Howard Sr., which would have been your grandpa, right? And they had moved to California. And by the way, speaking of John Wayne, was it your grandparents that went to school with John Wayne and Jackie Robinson?
Well, my dad went to Glendale High School, and John Wayne, his name there was Marion Morrison, went to Glendale High School, but he graduated a few years apart from my dad. So my dad didn't actually go to school with him. My mother, she actually went through high school, junior high school, and college with Jackie Robinson. Went to Muir High School, Pasadena City College, and then they both went to UCLA, They were both born in 1919, although Jackie was born in, I think it was Georgia, before moving to California. My mother graduated from UCLA in 1941. I also went to UCLA when I was there. I was a classmate of Lew Alcindor or Kareem
Oh my
Abdul-Jabbar, so.
word. Isn't it interesting to think, Steve, here we are in our generation. And then you go back to your parents and you said your dad was born in 1915.
Right, in Norfolk,
And
Nebraska.
really? And then you go back another generation, which puts us in the 1800s, right? I mean, it's interesting. It's just interesting to think about time and how much has happened, and World War I and World War II and all the wars after that. And here we are where we are today. And excuse me, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
But what is new is our experiences because they're happening to us. But again, I just love how you wove so much history, not only about Germany, but about Hitler. You even mentioned the aspect of Artie Shaw had gone missing and something about that. I had to research that. How interesting is that? Do you remember about
Yeah, that
that?
was. It took me from the time I started my research to the time that the book was published was 4.5 years, and I was writing it, beginning to write the manuscript during that time, and the really book is a kind of two books in one. One's the story of my dad and his crew, which is all based on firsthand testimony by the people who were involved in the events. My dad,
Yes.
other members of the crew that survived, and members of the Belgium Underground. I'll touch on that in a second.
Yes.
That what I added to the book was just a lot of historical information and anecdotes about and surrounding the war to put it into context. And every time I'd come across something that I really didn't know a lot about, or my dad mentioned it in one of his letters to his mother, I go, "Well, that's kind of interesting. I'm going to look that up." And then I'd put that in the book, and so I learned a lot, writing the book about what was going on at that time back
Yes.
during the war years, which was very educational.
Well, that stood out to me because not only am I love history, but I love music. So certainly knew who Artie Shaw was. And those of you listening again, you're just going to have to check it out.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Belgium Underground.
Yes. They were amazing people. They risked not only their lives, but the lives of their family and friends by hiding any downed airmen. Because of the German secret police, the Gestapo found out about it. They'd be arrested, tortured, and either thrown in a concentration camp or shot. And
Yes.
some of the people who aided my dad and other members of the crew did meet that fate. So they were exceedingly brave people. And I'll go back a step. I wouldn't have been able to written the book if it wasn't for two Belgium gentlemen who were young boys during the war, Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot. And they saw firsthand the atrocities committed against their family and friends by the Nazis who, invaded Belgium and occupied it for 4 years, from 40 to 44. And then later on in life, they became local historians and they interviewed all these members of the Belgium Underground about events that took place involving my dad and his crew. And they documented their testimony. And they gave me unbelievably detailed information that's in the book that would have been lost forever. So I owe them a huge debt. When I was writing the book, sometimes I'd kind of think to myself, gosh, somebody who's reading this book's going to go, wait a minute, how does this guy know this much detail about events that happened 70 years ago,
Right.
in Belgium, because it's amazing. That's one reason I decided to write a book, because a little earlier, I really had no intention of writing a book at all when I started doing all this research. I just wanted to know more. But then when
Right.
I had so much information about not only my dad and his crew, but all these Belgian people, I just felt compelled that I needed to write the book.
And
So I did.
I'm so glad, because like I said, it just weaves this story of these pages of history, these years of history, again, from Howard Sr. and your grandmother, and then to your dad and your mother, Ruth, is that correct?
Right. Yeah.
And then on to your sisters and you. And I just love how you inserted so much history. And again, truly, it is a weaving that you did of exactly what we talked about a while ago, of not only history, but also your dad's writings and then your own writings. By the way, just today I wanted to go to the back part of the book and kind of refresh my memory on a few things. And Paul, how do you say his last name?
Delahaye,
I saw
Paul
he passed
Delahaye.
away.
Well, in Belgium, a lot of people, Belgium's a fascinating little country. It's really divided in two. The upper portion of Belgium is called Flanders, where they speak Flemish, which is a dialect of Dutch. And it's more heavily populated and more industrial. And the bottom half of Belgium is called Wallonia, where they speak French. And it's all rural farmland, and that's where the events that took place involved in the book in Wallonia, just north of the French border. But in France or in Belgium, part where they speak French, they pronounce Delahaye Delay, but the English pronunciation of it is Delahaye.
Delahaye. Well, it
And
sounds much
he
more
was a great man.
romantic.
He passed away in 2013,
I saw
unfortunately.
that. I did. I saw that. But no doubt I love the picture. I love all those pictures throughout the book. And also the museum. Was it Paul's undertaking that?
Yes, in 1984, Paul, again, because of his appreciation growing up for the Americans coming to liberate their country, he formed the Belgium American Foundation to honor and remember events that took place during the war. And they erected a number of memorials in the area. And it's funny how my dad got connected to him. One of his helpers, Nellie Tilcan, who was living at the time and who hid my dad with her husband Paul. My dad and her and Nellie used to write back and forth, exchange Christmas cards. So he got my dad's address from Nellie, and he said he was erecting this memorial to honor the first 12 GIs that were killed in the liberation of Belgium, and he invited my dad to come over for the dedication. So, my dad's gets this letter out of the blue from this total stranger. So I was debating with my mother whether they should go over there or not. Then he got another letter that had the program of the ceremony and listed my dad as the keynote speaker. So he goes, "Well, Ruth, I guess I gotta go now
Gotta
and listen as the
go.
keynote speaker." And so they became good friends over the year. And then the fall, that was in 1988. And then in 1989, they dedicated a memorial to my dad and his crew. And my dad and the three other crew members that were still living at the time, along with their spouses, went over for the dedication. and then before that, like most World War II veterans, my dad didn't talk a lot about the war. But going over there, he was reunited with all these Belgian people that hit him during the war and visited these places where it was hidden. That brought it all back. And he started talking about it. And then my first visit to Belgium was 5 years later in 1994, when I went over with my parents. And that's when it became personal for me, because I met some of his helpers and saw these places where he was hidden. I just made my this couple weeks ago made my eighth trip to Belgium. I love going over there. It's a
That
wonderful little country,
wonderful.
and I've developed so many close and dear friends. All the people that hid my dad, they're all gone now, but I'm friends with a number of grandchildren of people that hid my dad, and we've developed kind of a bond and a little family. So that's really wonderful.
What a blessing, what a touchstone.
Yeah, I.
Be breathing the same air, to be in the same country where no doubt God's hand of protection was over them. Now, were there two or were there three men that did pass there?
Of his crew. Yeah, well, Two members were killed in the plane, and then five that then the other eight bailed out successfully, and different things happened to them.
Right.
My dad's tail gunner, Bill Schlenker, he also evaded capture. So both my dad and Bill were missing in action for 7 months. But they weren't together at all. They had no idea that
They'd survived.
what was happening to the other one.
Right.
And my dad, after he came down, he was moved from place to place to place. How long he stayed in any given location depended on how brave the Belgian people were who lived there and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. He might spend one night, he might spend 6 weeks. But Bill Schlenker, he stayed the entire 7 months with one woman and her two daughters.
How
And
about that?
yeah, and it's going back to Belgium, all these places are still there today because it's rural farmland. You know, it wasn't bombed during
Right.
the war, and I mean, it really hasn't changed in hundreds of years. So I've not
Right.
only been in the country, I've been in farmhouses and houses and even in the rooms where my dad stayed during that time. I got chills just saying
I know you have
that.
the
So,
one picture where it's like a window on this, almost like on the ceiling, that you said your dad had had to crawl out of that window and hide on the roof and sleep all night, if I remember correctly.
right. On one occasion, when I went by that house, it's actually in Charleroi, Belgium. I was with my youngest son, Clayton, and a friend of ours that was doing some filming. And we were taking pictures of the house, and all of a sudden, the upstory window opens, and the guy who could speak English goes, "May I help you?" And so I go, "Yeah, my dad was hidden in this house during World War II." And he got real curious about that. So he go, "Oh man, I want to know more." So he came down, and I had all these pictures that the man who lived there is Maurice Bayou. He and his wife Ghislaine. My dad spent time with there, and he had a camera, and he took all these pictures while my dad was staying there. They had a little backyard patio, so my dad's sitting there with some of his helpers. And so I had all these pictures of my dad there at the house, and there was one inside the house that I showed the guy, and he goes, "That wall covering is still there today, 75 years later." So we
Oh
go inside the
my
house, and
word.
there's that wall covering. And so I tried to sit down and pose like my dad to take, identical picture. I didn't quite capture that, but
Right.
that was amazing.
Right. You do look quite a bit like your
Oh,
dad.
I look a lot like my dad.
Yes. Are you as tall as your dad?
We were both 6'2".
Well,
Yeah.
yeah, all of his pictures, he looks very tall. And
Yeah,
again,
there's lots of pictures there's over 200 time period photographs in the book. That's a nice thing about it because you could visualize everything you're reading about. And many of them are taken by Belgian people, during the war
yes.
with many of his helpers. And you could see, my dad at 6'2" was much taller than any of the local
Yes,
people,
no
because
doubt.
they were pretty short.
No doubt. And again, it truly was just like God's hand just being over him and with him, and his faith carried him through. And, from everything I've read, Steve, so many say they have PTSD. Not that your dad didn't maybe be affected by all of that that happened, but boy, did he make the best of it, didn't he?
Yes, he did suffer some when he came back. I was talking to my aunt at one occasion. He comes back from all this, and he comes home to two little girls, one who he hadn't even met yet.
Right,
And
Nancy.
he needed to decompress, but he had these two little girls that were real needy, and he had a hard time adjusting. My aunt said, he said my mom and my dad, they had some difficulty. One time my mother said my dad was having this nightmare, and he started choking my mother,
Oh.
in his sleep. And she's going, "Howard, Howard, Howard." And so, he did suffer, but I never noticed that. I was born 2 years after the war.
Right.
My dad was, I never noticed any trauma, but
Sure.
I think he did have some.
Sure. Well, that would only be That would just be only natural.
But like, most of those guys who fought in World War II, they were amazing men. I mean, the way they looked at us, that, we had a job to do. We went over there, we did our job, we came back home and got on with our life. And that's the way they viewed it. They didn't view themselves as war heroes or anything.
Yes. I was going to see if there's another, there's just so much. I mean, you get into the bombing of Pearl Harbor. It's talking about all of the training, the military discipline that your dad and all of his crew had to go through. And you get very specific about exactly what they had to go through to do what they did. And then to go back to the museum, how interesting
Yeah,
that your dad.
Paul Delahaye, as you were brought up earlier, he had this little it was kind of like an animal shed, basically, that he converted into a museum, put a second story on it. My dad and other memorabilia from some of the crew were in there, as long as there's really two parts of the museum. The bottom floor was about the tw 12 airmen or 12 GIs that were killed just nearby on the first day of fighting. And then the second story is about pretty much the story of my dad and his crew and the German fighters that shot my dad down. And they just remodeled it. It's really a nice little museum, although it's small. It contains a great deal of artifacts in there, and shows a great story.
Excuse my cough. They have his jacket.
Yeah, my dad donated what's called an Eisenhower jacket there, and a couple Nazi emblems and flags that he acquired. Bill Schlenker's false identity card that the underground made up for him is in there. There's dresses and handkerchiefs made from the silk of the parachutes from my dad.
How about that?
There's little crosses made from the plexiglass of the plane, and
So
these two were
interesting.
sent back home to my mother and my grandmother, which now my wife and one of my sisters have. So
That's
that's a really, really nice things. And then the story of the whole thing, Jacques
very
Lalot wrote up the story of my dad and his adventures that's in there. And so it's really cool.
If I remember correctly, the propeller of the plane.
Well, yeah, when they built the memorial, that's not actually the propeller of the plane. They put a propeller on the memorial to my dad
Okay.
and his crew, but that's not the actual propeller.
Okay, I was
After
going to
my
say.
dad's plane came down, the Germans, they were hurting for really everything, so they sent back his plane, as scrap metal to be used in Germany.
I was
So
going to say they
nothing
found
from the
it
plane
and.
was actually
Okay.
salvaged.
Okay. I'll be. Well, tell us, what's your favorite part of the entire story?
You mentioned my dad was blessed. I am so blessed through this experience, not only of getting to know more, and I'm so blessed to know so much detail about my dad and his crew. But writing that book totally changed my life. Because after writing that book, I started traveling all around the United States, which I still do today, attending air shows, signing copies of my book. And I make just PowerPoint presentations every year to all sorts of different organizations. So I meet tons of people all over the country, which is, a blessing in itself, getting to know the people and talking to them. But the vast majority of the people I meet know hardly anything about their veteran, whether it's an uncle or a daughter or, a son, a grandson. And so I really feel blessed that I know so much about the story, and to be able to try to keep the memory of not only my dad and his crew alive, but that of all the men who fought and
Yes.
aid their force. It's
Yeah.
just really been a blessing for
I
me, which
think.
I just love to do, going over to Normandy for a dedication of an 8th Air Force Memorial at Normandy, and then going up to Belgium and the Netherlands to visit friends. It's just, I'm so fortunate to be able to do that.
It's just open wide another whole world for you.
Yeah, my wife's amazed. Because I know so many people around the United States and in England and in Europe because of this, and all the when I went over to Belgium, a couple of Facebook friends, and this happens quite frequently when I travel, that I'd never met him, but we're friends on Facebook, and they had read the book. They heard I was coming to Belgium, and so they drove to meet me at different cemeteries that signed copies of their book. So it's really a fun thing to do.
I love that, and I'm sh most certain that your dad and your mom would be just thrilled
Oh
to
my! I
know that.
yeah I it's just a shame that I wasn't able to do this while my dad was still living, because my
Yes.
dad died in 2007. He wasn't the last crew member to die, but he was the oldest at 91. And then I didn't decide to write the book until 2012.
Right.
But
Right.
you asked me about my favorite part of the book. Well, I guess I'd have to say the favorite most surprising thing was finding the German Luftwaffe pilot that shot down my dad's plane and
Right.
becoming friends with him. Yeah, that was just amazing, because all my dad knew and all the Air Force knew that my dad was attacked by two German Focke-Wulf 190 fighters, and that's all I thought I'd ever know. But one day, my wife Glenda said, "Well, why don't you try to find the German pilot that shot your dad's plane down?" And I'm thinking, oh, she's so naive; she has no idea what she's talking about. It'd be impossible. But like a good husband, I did what she told me to do. And I found Hans Berger, and fortunately for me, became a translator after the war, so he spoke perfect English. And so
Right.
that was just phenomenal. Not only did was he still living, because I thought, well, he most of the German pilots died during the war, so I thought he probably died in the war. If not, it's 70 years later, he might have passed away by now, and I can't speak German. How am I going to communicate with the guy? But not only was he alive, but I was able to find him, and he spoke perfect English. So I was so excited when I found him.
That is an incredible story. So, how old was he when you found him?
Let's see. Well, I had hoped to see him last year when I went over for the 80th anniversary of these events and the liberation of Belgium. And I had hoped to see him one last time, but unfortunately, he died in January of 2024 at age 100.
Oh,
So
my
I
word.
was so he was 90 was 92 when I found him,
Man,
93.
that man lived to 100 years old. Wait, has he, boy, did he see a lot of history in his lifetime, huh? And lived it.
For the book, I just interviewed him over the telephone and through email. And he gave me some wonderful information about what it was like to go up against the 8th Air Force. And I learned from Hans that the gunners on my dad's plane shot Hans down at the same time he shot them down. They actually shot each other down.
How
But
about
Belgium
that?
being occupied by the Germans then, they picked him up and he went back to his
Sure,
base. But I
sure.
did go to visit him in Munich, Germany on two different occasions and
That's
spend time
incredible.
with him personally.
And you think about it, these men, your dad and Hans Berger, were young men just serving their country to protect the freedom of their country. And here we are in 2025, and it's still going on. As far as thank you, God, for those men. I have said often that the men and women that decide to spend part of their life in the military serving our country, I truly do believe that God just places a gifting in them to have that protector warrior spirit. And I've told the story that my middle son was a Marine. He went to Afghanistan for a time. And then my best friend from high school, I say this often too, she's all a 4'11" and no bigger than a minute. She and I were going to go to NEO A&M in Miami, Oklahoma. I was going to be a home ec teacher. She was dating her boyfriend that lived there. They broke up. She joined the Marines. And she thought I was going to join. And I'm like, have you seen Goldie Hawn in that movie, Private Benjamin? That would be me. I did not get that gifting, Steve. But she was in the Marines for 10 years.
Oh
Toughest boot.
gosh.
One of the
Yeah,
best people I know.
Hans said, like to me, we weren't all evil Nazis. And he goes,
Sure.
it was too bad that we had to be shooting at each other, but
Hey.
that was war. Like he's
Right.
mentioned, he was just a young guy, 19, 20 years old, trying to do a job, fighting for his country and trying to
Sure.
stay alive.
He didn't want to die. Your dad didn't want to die. They're
Right.
just up there. And you think about how crazy this is. Your dad's got a wife and a child at home in America. He's thinking, what am I doing here? And again, it's just this inner protector warrior. And I just believe it. So, well, I'm so grateful that your dad and several of those men got to come home. I'm so very sorry for the people that lost theirs. And don't we know throughout all of time, there's been so many lost in war, and it is devastating. And I'm grateful my son came back. And let me tell you, this mama did not really want to share him, but he was going, and that's all there was to it. So, what's our responsibility is to pray for our child or our brother or our husband or father, whoever, for sure. And I'm
Absolutely.
sure, again, in the book, so many pages talking about the families that were praying for this crew. So,
And five of the crew members came home, but five did not. So, there is definite tragedy in the book,
there.
as well as hope and
Yes,
happiness.
no doubt. Tell us how to reach you, Steve. How can we find your book? Tell us about your website.
Okay, it's Steve Snyder, Snyder, stevesnyderauthor.com. And there's a great deal of information on my website. It's just not about my book. There's a lot of interviews with veterans, a lot of links for research to not only websites about how you can find information on your veteran or information about the 8th Air Force or the B-17 or what have you,
Love
but
that.
there's even links to TV shows like 12 O'Clock High. You can watch all the episodes or different shows that were on at that time, both in the US and England, that are pretty interesting. Just a lot of information. And on my website, if you want an autographed hardcover book, there's a link on my homepage to do that. The vast majority of people who buy books buy them off Amazon.
Right.
It's in any format, hardcover, soft cover, audiobook, and then any format of ebooks like Kindle or Google Play
Yes.
or Kobo or what have you.
Now there's so many ways to get a hold of a book nowadays. And I'll tell you that the cover is great. It shows the team, his crew, and it's an easy read. But what I like too is, again, me being a history buff, and I can go back and because I bought it on Kindle, and I can reread some of the fascinating things about Germany and Hitler, and again, their training, your dad and his crew, and the training that they had to go through. How would we know some of those things if you had not made a decision to do this, and your dad had not written all these things that he wrote?
Right, but my wife made the comment that she goes, she never knew what GI stood for before, and so little things like that, I would think I just wouldn't leave it at GI. I'd think, well, probably people don't know anything about that, and so
I don't know
I put
what
a little
GI
something in
means.
about a government issue. It was really
Okay.
material that they got, and then it just all the soldiers just kind of transferred to, you call the soldiers GIs, and other little things that Those little tidbits, the
Right.
factoid things that
Oh, it's
people
so
never
good.
really think about before, to kind of just to kind of make it fun and more interesting.
It's so good. So, has there been talk of making this a movie?
Well, I there's a company I'm in, a film investment fund that I'm talking with right now about possibly make it into a movie. We're in discussions. Nothing's final yet, so
Got
we'll
it.
see. You know, a lot of people who read the book says, you know, it actually would be better as a mini series because
Yeah.
there's so much detail. Be hard to well,
I
it
get
depends
that.
whether you just want to focus on my dad, because the book's not only about my dad, but it goes into
Sure.
detail about what happened to each member of the crew and also about all the Belgian people
Oh,
that risked their
and
lives to
that's
help
so
them.
good. You're right. That could be a mini series.
So, you know, whether you're going to write about just about my dad, or, you know, bring in all these other people, you could even bring, you know, Hans Berger into it, that there's different ways
Yes. Yes.
you could do the movie. But
Oh.
that's another thing. Before I retired, you know, I would t talk to people and, you know, tell them about my dad's history, you know, in a nutshell, and they go, oh my goodness, you know, that should be in a movie, or you should write a book or
Oh,
something like that, because
absolutely.
anything that could happen to a bomber crew happened to my dad's crew. So it's
Right.
a very unique story about, you know, because some, you know, were killed, you know, some became prisoners of war, you know, some evaded capture, some, you know, evaded and other things ha happened. And so it makes for
Yeah.
an amazing story.
I'm
And
so grateful for that.
because I didn't add anything to the story. I didn't want to embellish it or, you know, make assumptions that who was
Right.
thinking there. It's just all based on what people said what took place.
Right, truly, Steve, it's a work of art. I was going to say that I'm really grateful for that little round of trees that your dad landed in. You know, just 6 feet over, maybe that wouldn't have happened. So, well, again, great book, interesting read. I can, even though I'm reading it on Kindle, you know, on my computer, I'm still going to say these words. I couldn't put it down. Like, I just couldn't put it down. And I do speed read, but then I had to go back, and then I had to go back again and get, and it's just a good book. Pictures. Lots of history, and I encourage you to get Steve Snyder's book. So, Steve, I want to thank you for being on the journey with me today, and it's so wonderful to meet you, and I'm looking forward to a movie.
Well, thank you. Hopefully, you know, even if we sign a deal, you know, there's still a lot before a
A
movie is ever
lot of
made. So,
things,
but you know, it's a step in the right direction. But
right. Well,
I really being enjoyed being on the journey. This book has sure been a journey for me, I can tell you that.
yes, no doubt. No doubt. Well, I'll be continuing to check out your website. Share that with us one more time.
Steve Snyder, Snyder, SnyderAuthor.com. And I'm on
Perfect.
Facebook and LinkedIn, and I have a YouTube channel that has tons of videos on it.
Perfect.
Check
Perfect.
that out too.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And
Thank
those
you.
of you following, we just thank you for joining us today on the journey with author Steve Snyder. Go grab a copy of his book on Amazon, or I think I need to get a signed hard copy from his website. That's what I want to put on in my front room on my table. So you all have a wonderful day, and I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.